Please take your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 to 6. Go till 12. Okay. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, we'll read here, and then we'll focus on verse 6, and then we'll get into, we'll pray, and then get into the message. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at a little phrase from the mouth of Peter, Lord, that you would challenge and encourage us, Lord, to be that witness, that testimony for you here and around the world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice here what Peter says, looking at this beggar, this layman, he says, it says, Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And the title of the message is To Have and to Give. And really how, once again, looking at principles, how that's a principle in life where daily we receive and daily we should give. And then the principle that Jesus gave out, what did he say? It is more blessed to what? To give than to receive, and how that's a principle in life, giving and receiving, and how the more blessed thing is, and that's kind of the theme of the message, is to give out Jesus. Yes, if you're here today, you're saved, you're born again, you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and now the more blessed thing for you to do is to give that out. You've received, but Jesus now says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And how I always say, God gives so that we can receive, but we receive so that we can give. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. And then we see that, but as many as what received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So God gave his son, we received him. And so now we receive him so that we can give him. And that's what Peter is saying here. He said, I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have, saying I have Jesus Christ, that I can give to you. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And yes, we learn later on, and this is a 40-plus year old gentleman that gets healed. And but not only does he get healed, I believe he gets saved. And we'll look at that passage. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 is a passage that we refer to a lot in soul winning, but it's unique how that it's nestled in this context of this gentleman being healed, and we'll look at it later. And here we see Peter saying, such as I have, give I thee. The only you can only give what you have. Duh. We oftentimes refer to that as money, saying I can only give you so-and-so much money and only as much as I have. And so you can only give what you have. And in Peter's case, he did not have what the beggar wanted, but he had what the beggar needed. And what's unique about this situation is that it was just everyday life. Just notice how it says here in verse 2, whom they laid daily at the gate. This was just routine. And notice also for the apostles, this was just the hour of prayer. Here we go again. Here's the hour of prayer, and here's the beggar saying, here I go again. They drop me off. I'm going to ask for ask for money. I'm going to be a beggar. And this is my way of life. And this is just daily life. But something special took place. And that reminds me of the day of my salvation and the day of your salvation. That day wasn't just ho-hum, just everyday life. Something special took place that day. Whether you got saved at age 5 or 15 or 30, that's a special day. And that's a day you don't forget. You might not know the date and so on. And I never knew the date until I heard people that kept track of the day they got saved. So I backtracked and figured out the day that I got saved. But you do remember that moment. You remember that day. And it wasn't just an ordinary day. It was something special. And something special took place. But notice how that Peter, he didn't give what this beggar wanted. And we as believers, we have what this world needs. We have the answer. And so when we go to Bolivia preaching the gospel, we're doing that because we are confident. We know that we have the answer. And we are like Peter saying, we know who we have, and we're going to give that what we have. And that is the answer, Jesus Christ, to your sin problem. And so how selfish we would be in the physical realm if we have discovered, let's say, the answer or the cure to cancer, and how selfish we would be to hold that from this world, but then turn that over to the spiritual aspect of life. And spiritually, if we were now to hold the answer back from the world, which we have, and that's Jesus Christ, to cure the sin sickness of this world, and how they need to be, the world is, the problem is sin, but the answer is Jesus Christ, and how selfish we would be now to hold that back from people. The greatest need in our life is not money or possessions, or even life on earth. This gentleman, he had life, and he was just asking for that to continue to nourish his physical body. But what he needed, what the beggar needed, was the means for eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. And so I have two simple questions this morning. The first one, do you have Jesus? And that is to the lost person. And then to the saved, does Jesus have you? And so, do you have Jesus? And this is what I mean by when Peter said, such as I have. He says, I have Jesus. So the question is, do you have Jesus? And do you know that you have Jesus? But also, before we get into that, we see that Peter teaches us two very important things here. And that is that he teaches us the assurance of salvation, but also the eternal security that comes with salvation. Because there's a lot of arguments, especially in the Arminianistic way of thinking, which is a lot of your Mennonite groups, and that is that you can, at some point, if you do something terrible within your Christian life, that you lose your salvation. And how wicked that thinking truly is, according to Hebrews chapter 6, where Paul answers that question and saying, are you so foolish now to put Jesus back on the cross? In essence, he's saying, that's what you're doing. That's what you're saying, that Jesus didn't do it once for all, and that you're not secure in him now, that he's not efficient, and they preach an insufficient Jesus, that kind of thinking. But we know that he died once, and he died for all, and if you've received him once, that's all. You were born again, and you were born again. And how does he teach us the assurance? He's saying, I know. He said, I know I have Jesus Christ. He said, such as I have. So present tense, right here, right now, can you with assurance say that you have Jesus Christ? Because that's a battle we face. Even if you are a believer, that's a battle that you might face, as I did. And that is with doubting your salvation. Because when I got saved, it was just right there in the living room where, in my heart, I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, then you go to church and then you hear of the typical Baptist way where a sinner came into the church house and walked the aisle and somebody took them and prayed with them and they prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. You hear that over and over and then you think, well, did I ever get saved? Because that didn't happen to me where I went through that same situation. And so you have to be assured according to the Bible, and where God confirmed in my heart when I read that the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And that's what took place that evening where I got saved, where my heart trusted in Jesus Christ as my righteousness. And we need to be assured of our salvation according to the scriptures and not have that doubtful walk, but be assured of our salvation, because I feared that I wasn't saved because I didn't pray a prayer. And it's not by praying a prayer. And that might be a point of assurance for somebody. They remember that time. But me, it was kind of with like Cornelius. It says that while Peter was yet talking to him, the Holy Ghost fell upon him. So where Cornelius got saved, during that conversation with Peter, you read through that account. And if you look at the fine details, and so you have to be assured according to scriptures. And what's interesting and what's encouraging, and if you're discouraged in your Christian walk and you say, well, I've denied the Lord Jesus Christ in some sense, where I want to encourage you to get back on board and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is by Peter's own life, because here's Acts chapter 3. They're reaching out to an individual where God never neglects that individual. Just like when he told Philip to go after the Ethiopian that was going back to Ethiopia, and how he led that one person to the Lord. But if we go back to Acts chapter 2, what is that? The day of Pentecost, where thousands got saved. But if we backtrack 53 days from the day of Pentecost, where do we find Peter? If we backtrack 10 days, that's when Jesus said, wait for me until you're endued with power from on high. So they waited those 10 days. But if we backtrack, and that's when Jesus ascended. But if we backtrack another 40 days, that's when Jesus resurrected. He had not ascended yet. He had just resurrected. And then if we backtrack another 3 days, so that's 53 days. Where is Jesus? He's being crucified. But where is Peter? He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. So from the day he denied the Lord Jesus Christ to the day of Pentecost, 53 days, what took place? He got right with God. He got right with Jesus. Remember that time where Jesus looked at him and said, do you truly love me? Three times asking him and asking, are you truly going to follow through? Are you truly going to follow me and love me with all your heart this time? And so what took place? He got right with God in between that time. And that's the answer for us all the time, where it's not a matter of we're a child of God or not, but are we in right standing within that relationship? And if you feel defeated in that sense, just to get right with God, it's as simple as that, just getting back into fellowship with him. And where Peter could have blown it for the rest of his life and said, I quit. But look at his fruitful ministry after that, right until he passes away. And so, and where history records that they died a martyr's death, and how he was able to lead thousands to the Lord. And then reached the specifically Cornelius and the door opening up to the Gentiles, and just amazing things that Peter was involved in just because he didn't quit that day where he could have. And that's what's so exciting, where he says, such as I have, and he was confident that he had Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. But the question is, do you have Jesus? And also, like Paul said, so can you confidently say that you have Jesus as Peter did? Or also like Paul said in the song that we often sing, for I know whom I have believed. So he knew whom he had believed. He had a head knowledge of it. But furthermore, he says then, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Have you had that time in your life where you were persuaded about what? That he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And when we get saved, that's what we're doing. We're committing the keeping of our soul and the hands of God. Amen. And so are you persuaded that God is able, the ability of God, is he able to keep, to protect, to garrison about? Is he able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day? Or are you doubting? And so you sat on that chair is going to support you. I know they're probably attached somehow, so maybe it's more than four legs supporting you, but you didn't test that chair out before you sat down this morning. You just sat down. Simple faith, simple trust. And that's what you have to do with trusting Jesus Christ as your as your Savior. That simple childlike faith that Jesus illustrated to us. Remember when I gave my testimony, I just threw that track away because that's too easy. All I have to do is trust in Jesus as my Savior, when I thought, no, I had to, it's all about performance and pleasing God by doing good works. No, it was that simple. And then we get caught up and often doubt our salvation because it was that simple. No, surely I had to do something. I had to pray that perfect Baptist prayer. No, I with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And that is 2 Timothy 1:12. And so that goes to show that Paul and Peter and these Bible characters went through that situation where Paul doesn't just write this to write it. He wrote it because that's probably a battle in his life where he had to say, think about his life. Think about his past. God, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Plus, look at all those Christians that I committed to prison and that I was part of their death and even held the coat of Stephen while they stoned him. Think about the, we just think that these are super saints and they never went through problems, but all the baggage we bring from our past when we get saved and so much we have to work through, that Paul never had that problem. No, he could write that because he went through those problems and he was persuaded that God was able to keep that which he was committed to him against that day. And so he went through these problems. And so these are real life problems that we go through. But the point is, you have to know that you're saved. Do you know that you're saved? Do you have Jesus? And if you're not saved, you need Jesus. So that's the answer. And we'll look at this from this passage. Salvation is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That is so important, that salvation is in a person, and that's Jesus, but furthermore, it's in what Jesus did. And that's why the emphasis, like I mentioned, when we go to reach the Mennonites, it's going to be the gospel according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, where it says the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. And even there, within 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, Paul says, according to the scripture. And that's why the gospel is so important to keep pure and clean and according to the scripture. It's not what we've made up, but it's in a person, Jesus Christ, and furthermore, in what he did. Because salvation isn't just in the death and burial of Jesus Christ, because there was those that believed that there was no resurrection. The Sadducees believed there was no resurrection. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul takes that whole chapter, and the whole chapter we call the resurrection chapter, where Paul argues the resurrection. And finally, he takes their side of the argument and says, okay, let's say there is no resurrection. And then he says, everything is vain. You coming to church, me preaching, everything is empty. And if we just in this life have hope, how miserable we are, because we just have hope in this life. But how about the afterlife? What about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And so he takes their side and says, okay, let's say there is no resurrection. Then we are most miserable and we have there's no point in doing what we're doing. But he preached that there is a resurrection. And that's why it's so important that we preach that, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and who Jesus is, because it's so important, because Jesus defeated the grave. And if you're lost here today, your enemy is the grave, and how you can't defeat it out of yourself. If you go your own way, the wages of sin is death. If you want to pay it your own way, that's going to be an eternal payment. But if you go Jesus's way, he had no sin. Remember, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's why when Jesus was in the grave, he couldn't even stay in the grave, because he had to resurrect, because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus had no sin, zero sin. Therefore, he couldn't stay in the grave. He had to resurrect. Therefore, if you're lost here today, your only hope past the grave is in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is our hope. That's why we have a lively hope, a living hope, an exciting hope in Jesus Christ, because we're not miserable only having hope here. No, we have hope past the grave, and where we don't mourn like the lost people mourn over loved ones that pass away and so on. And also, a little lesson on death If you're lost here today, the Bible says that you will partake of a second death if you're not saved. That's very fearful. I remember going to bed. I would lay there in bed and I would just think of nothingness because I knew my sin was so great and I had no hope, no answer. But I figured, you know what, just to give myself a little bit of joy, peace, just so I could go to bed, I would just sit there and think, after I die, it's just going to be all black and nothing. And therefore, I have no responsibility or accountability for my sin. That's the way human thinking goes. But really, where death is not that. Some would say in hope that death would be some kind of nothingness or annihilation, but it's not that. Death is simply a separation. That's all death is. So there's the first death, and that's all that is when somebody dies, they're separated from this earth into eternity. That's the first separation. That's all that takes place, a separation. And so that's nothing to fear. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And of course, we know, well, we say, well, how about those that get caught up in the rapture? They don't die. Well, yes, we do, because when we're caught up, we're separated from this earth into eternity. So that proves that what death really is. It's just a separation. But the fearful thing is what Revelation 21:8 refers to as the second death. And that is where you're eternally separated from God. Because even the dead in Christ will rise, but also the lost will be judged before God. And then it says, and they're in hell, but even death in hell, the Bible says, is caught up and late, and then they're judged. And then death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. That's the fearful thing. For if you're not saved, if you're here and you're not saved, that you stand before the wrath of God and the second death. But praise God that Jesus is the answer, and that if you trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you will resurrect with Him. And that's exciting. And so when Jesus comes back, that we will resurrect with Him and we will be with Him forever. And so that is our hope. But notice that it's in a person, Jesus. And we'll see that later, that's the emphasis. Notice when earlier when I mentioned how the beggar didn't have the means he wanted the means for physical nourishment, but what he needed was the means for eternal life. Later on, Peter talks about the means by which this gentleman got healed, and that's the emphasis here. He's preaching the means. He's preaching Jesus Christ, and how we'll see later on how they were very specific about the Jesus that they preached. Wow. Time flew by. I thought it was 11 before, but it was 12. Wow. I'm not even going to get to my second point, but... Oh, what was I saying? Does anybody remember? Oh, who was listening? I'm lost. I'm so caught off guard here. Where was I? What's that? Whoa. Anyways, that is the answer that you need. Jesus Himself preaching that there's that He is the only means. The means. That's what I was talking about. And how Jesus Christ is the only means, and He Himself preached that. What did Jesus say? That He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And the reason I'm saying that, because we have to preach a specific Jesus. Now I know even further where I was going at. Peter, and I don't even know if we'll get there, but when he preached Jesus Christ. And sometimes you'll see that they'll be very detailed as to who they're talking about. They say Jesus Christ, and then He says of Nazareth, because the Bible talks about another gospel, the Bible talks about another spirit, and the Bible talks about another Jesus. And that's very fearful, that there's people preaching another Jesus, and that is your cult systems like the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormonism ways, where they preach another Jesus. And that's why Peter said that he preached Jesus, salvation, Christ, the anointed one. And he says, furthermore, I'll even tell you where He grew up, because this is the Jesus I'm talking about. He is salvation. And when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said, no man can come to the Father but by me. He was preaching that salvation isn't in a general vague belief that God is. I grew up believing in the God of the Bible, in the God of creation. And you know what? Even the atheist believes in the God of creation. And we know, according to the Bible, that they are lying and that they are deceived. And how the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. And so they believe in God as well. It says that Satan believes, the devils believe, and they tremble. So a general belief in God is not salvation. You need to trust in Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, as your salvation. And I didn't get saved until I trusted in the substitutionary death and saying, Jesus, you died for me, and I need to accept you as my Savior. And how that we need to be specific. And that's what Jesus was doing, being very specific. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Paul also reiterating the fact by saying there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the only go-between, the only bridge, so to speak. And so Jesus is the answer. So the question is, do you have Jesus? And I'll just leave it at that, and maybe if I'll do the other point some other time. But we'll leave it at that. But the question is, do you have Jesus? And of course, for the believer, the question was, does Jesus have you? And I think we know what we mean. What I mean by that is, now that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, does he have your life? Because Paul said, such as I have, give I you. Is your life now a life of giving out Jesus, where God has done such a great work in your heart, where you're busy giving him out, whether it's by verbal testimony or giving out the gospel tract? But I fear that some try to do put the cart before the horse, so to speak, and not have things in order. And what I mean by that is to first have Jesus Christ and then give him out. Remember, you can only give that which you have. So do you have Jesus Christ? And analyze your life. Not that I want to shed doubt on you. And I know oftentimes that takes place. I know even when I battled the fact that was I saved or not, you'd hear preaching. It's like, oh, here we go again. Am I doubting? No, I'm not. You know, there's the real life battles that take place. And so, but do you know that you know that you're saved and how important that is? Because that'll make everything clear. And that'll give you a running start to serve the Lord. Because if you don't know what's ahead, you have no hope in between and can't serve with assurance. So do you know that you have Jesus Christ? And believers, does Jesus have you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just give this time to you. And Lord, that you do a great work in our heart. Lord, if there's somebody lost, that they would be saved. And Lord, that... maybe they need to, some things clarified, Lord, that you would do that great work, and Lord, that the word would have fallen on fruitful, on soft soil, on fruitful ground. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.